Welcome to Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide to growth for managed service providers. In this series, MSP entrepreneur James Vickery and author of Infinite Scale shares what he has learned about taking control of your business so you can break free from the tools, win more customers, and be more profitable. Hey everyone, it's Patrick Doherty back again with James Vickery. Hi James.
Hey Patrick.
So today we've got a fairly ambitious topic, the ultimate MSP sales process. So why don't we start off by talking about what the traditional MSP sales process, or perhaps lack thereof, is.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of time wasted in the MSP sales process driven by the customer, right? And how many people out there, put your hands up if you're listening, not if you're driving, and say, you know, how many times have you sent out a proposal, like you've gone to all the effort and then you just don't get a reply? You spend all this time chasing the prospect and eventually it just kind of goes nowhere. Maybe you get a no at some point if you're lucky. So for me, everything that I do, everything I think about is how to optimize, how to get the most out of my time, how to get the most out of my day, how to make sure that I'm only spending time on prospects that are going to buy, right? So why don't we kick into that?
Okay, kick away.
Kick into it. So here's what it normally looks like, and perhaps others can relate to this. Somehow you get a lead. Maybe there's a call comes through. Someone wants to talk to you about your services. Maybe it's an email. We want to talk about your services. And the natural thing to do is to say, yes, let's meet. Right? So it's like for most people, that's the first step. Where's your office? Great. I'll come down. You go and sit in traffic, you know, for an hour. You have a cup of coffee. Sounds like a really great idea. And at the end of that conversation, they say, okay, send me a proposal. Right? And to me, hearing those words, send me a proposal, is like doom. Right? Yeah, most of us do it, right? We go, okay. And then we go back and we take time away from our family. We go and research all these different options. We look at distributors, you know, to see what's the best product for this customer. We put this whole thing together, send it out, crickets, right? So why don't I talk you through how I've kind of hacked that process and ended up with a better result. When someone is saying to me, send me a proposal, the response that I have to that is, what is it that we've covered today? We've talked about your needs. I've talked about what we're capable of. What is it that hasn't been covered that you need me to go away and put this into a document, right? This is a really important question and it puts it back on them. Why are they sending you away to spend the next day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week putting together a document for them if you haven't been able to instill enough confidence in them at that meeting that you can deliver, right? What is it about that? What ends up happening then is they say, well, I've still got questions about X, Y, or Z. Then you need to answer those questions in that meeting. You need to actually answer those questions. And you say, what else is it? Because you've asked me to put together a proposal. What else is it that we didn't cover today that we can cover really quickly right now to give you some confidence that we're the right provider for you? And so it's all about questions. In fact, I got a lot of this from a great book if you get a chance to check it out. It's not Infinite Scale. Mm-hmm. You should check that out too, but it's called Questions That Sell. And it's all about asking all of the right questions at that meeting so that when you do eventually go away and put together a document, maybe not a proposal, but a document, it covers all of that. It reaffirms what you assured them of in answer to their questions at that meeting.
But whatever kind of document you send them, right, has got to cover off on the price. So it's a proposal in that sense, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
How else do you get? Well, how do you tell them how much it's going to cost?
Yeah. Well, I think that this is the old way of thinking, right? The old way of thinking is that we go to a meeting, we kind of try to impress them at the meeting, and then we go away and we try to figure out, okay, like how much can we charge? You know, what's going to be acceptable? And there's a lot of like getting the crystal ball out and trying to guesstimate, you know, what it is that, A, what you need to charge because you need to make money on this particular deal, but also what can the customer stomach, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I don't have time for that. I don't, you know, I want to get through as many opportunities as I can in a month and I want to close, you know, deals, or I want to be able to walk away quickly and not, you know, live in this land of guessing what's going to happen. So you said before, let's use some role playing. So a classic sales meeting looks like, you know, you go to their office, you sit down, you exchange some niceties, you maybe have a cup of coffee, and at some point you say, okay, why are we here, right? What is it that's led to this conversation today? Can you share me a little bit about your business, right? And that's all normal. That's all great. And so the key there is listening and asking questions and asking question after question after question and really trying to get to the root cause as to why they're talking to you and to get an understanding, a thorough understanding of what their requirements are. So you've just done all of that. You've just listened about the printer problems that they're having. You've listened to the issues that they're having with their support provider, that they never get back to them. You've done all of that, and you might have listened for 20 minutes or half an hour. It's at that point where you say, would you mind if we spend a moment? I'll just tell you a little bit about who we are, what we do, and I want to give you an indication of price. I want to give you an indication of price, and we can have a discussion about that. It's very important that you're able to do that. And so, yes, there are some nuances to it. For example, you might need to undertake an audit. For example, you might need to research some pricing for them. But being able to give them an indication at the meeting will determine as to whether you're going to still be sitting there at that table or whether they're going to very kindly walk you to the door and thank you for your time. And that's okay, right? If they're going to take you and walk you to the door, well, back in the old days, prior to doing this, that was you sitting by the keyboard or by the phone waiting for some kind of response to the proposal. So what I will generally do in those circumstances is I'll either have a price. So if it's managed services, I will say, we're a managed service provider. We work on a per user pricing basis, and our per user price is this. And the only reason that it won't be that is if we uncover and we do some investigative work, which is our next step, to do an investigation, to do an audit of your environment, we may uncover some additional information, but I can't tell you that now because I haven't had the opportunity to look at your IT. So this is the benchmark, right? This is the rate that you're probably looking at. I think customers really respect that these days. You know, I think that they really respect that you are confident, that you kind of have an indication, that you may need to come back to them with some additional detail, but that's not a proposal, right? That's not a proposal because you've already confirmed everything else. What it is at that point is maybe some form of agreement or maybe a next step like the audit and what you charge for that particular audit.
So should you ever ask them what their budget is?
Look, I haven't had a lot of luck with that in the small business space. I think in larger corporations, there is a budget, and I think they're quite open about that because it's not their money.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're dealing with someone that's, you know, in an enterprise, then generally speaking, they'll say, look, you can ask them that question. They'll say, look, for the year, we've got this much allocated for IT, and some of those things will go to, you know, managed services, some of them will go to hardware and so on, but they'll be open about it. The majority of businesses will probably get their backup and say something like, well, give us a proposal, right? Like, yeah. And we'll assess that, and we'll probably assess some other providers as well.
Right. But, you know, if you don't have that, I guess your way of doing that is to give them an indication of price, and then obviously if they show you the door, they show you the door. So
yeah.
So is that indication of price, do you then need to give them a range and say, well, it could be between this and this, or just sort of leave it open-ended? Like,
I think that comes down to what you're in there selling, right? I mean, right. Sometimes as the listeners will know, Patrick, there's some real complexity to these things. Like, there's a lot of maybes, like maybe the server needs to be replaced, maybe it doesn't. Right? Maybe the network needs upgrading, maybe it doesn't. Until you've done that investigation, it's really hard to put in a finite number on these things. So you could give a range. So you could say, look, if we end up going down the road of replacing the server, servers come in a range of X, Y, and Z, and that's the sort of pricing that you're looking at. But we'll firm that up once we have some sort of ongoing arrangement with you. Once we're kind of in there looking at these things, we'll be able to firm that up for you. But this is what you're generally looking at.
And what about the different levers you can pull? Because there's obviously like the length of the engagement, you know, things like that. You can say, well, if it's a longer engagement, we charge less, or there's, I don't know, does it all depend? Like, I mean, how much, I guess my question is, how much wiggle room should you give someone? Because obviously I think as an owner, you want to win the business, you probably don't want them to have the conversation just shut down. because you mouth a number, which is maybe not all that well thought through, and then they're like, nope.
Yeah, great point. I think it needs to be thought through for a start.
Sure.
This is your business and you're out there and you're trying to accomplish a particular level of profitability and growth for your company. But I realize that's challenging. I think giving customers options is a good way. So you have your primary option, say it's managed services. Managed services, we stand behind that. We provide you with a 24/7 service. We have these levels of technical capability. We'll answer the phone in under three rings. We'll do da, da, da. Got your pitch for that. And that's this price. And that's that. That's the price. And the only reason that that will vary is if we uncover something obscure that we haven't talked about today. But based on what you're telling me today, Mr. Customer, I'm not hearing it. And that's the price for that. Having an alternative, like my organization, my MSP, we have a couple of different options. So if we really get a sense that this is just not a managed service, it's just, they are a software as a service provider, they're very technical, they just need boots on the ground when something goes wrong, we have a pricing model for that and we share that with them. So I have a general sense before I walk in the room which one I'm going to go with, and I might have a backup plan if I think, well, kind of went. Need sale, so I'll have a backup plan, but generally no wiggle room on the plans. So the plan is the plan, and it's been put together and it's been structured in a way that we know you're going to get the best possible outcome from us, and that's the price.
Okay, so you've had that conversation, you've set the expectation around price, you've put together this document, not proposal, which has reconfirmed what you've talked about and what the ask is or what the requirement is, and how much it's all going to cost. What's next? You've sent this thing off. What do? Do you send an email and sit there and twiddle your fingers until they respond, or what do you do?
Great question. So at this point, if everybody's happy in this meeting and this makes sense, then there needs to be a confirmation of the sale. Now, some people would put that into a proposal. I personally wouldn't, because to me, it's like, we've already discussed all of this. Why am I going to go away and put all this time and effort into a proposal? We've discussed it. So it might just be a confirmation in an email, right? It might be, we talked about these things today. You had these questions. These are my answers. Would you like to proceed? If you'd like to proceed, click here or do this or do that, whatever your sign-up process is for your business. That's one way to go about it. If you want to get really cocky, if you're feeling very confident, have an agreement with you. Right, and say, well, the next step is the thing that's going to take the longest, Mr. Customer, is that we have an agreement that covers all of the different scenarios once we move forward together in an engagement. Now some time needs to be put into this agreement, because we have found that that is the biggest stumbling block, is having a discussion about clause 7D or clause 9D. Right. So let's put some focus on that. Then set a timeline. And this is one thing that most of us fail to do. The timeline looks like this, Mr. Customer. We have found that it takes on average 5 days to review the agreement. We have found that it takes an additional 5 days to come to a confirmation, to go back and forth about the agreement. And then we find that once those objectives are ticked off, that the sale and the finalization of this sale so that we can move forward will occur within 15 days, right? And so map it out, even draw it on the whiteboard or have a document that outlines your sales process. They will consider this to be incredibly professional. If they don't consider it to be professional, what they're basically saying is they weren't serious. So they've taken your time, you've driven across town, you've spent an hour and they weren't really serious. Great, exit. Right, you're giving them an exit point. And in this sales model that you present to them, you're actually saying to them that there is an exit point at each one of these junctures, and that way everybody knows what's going on. So that brings it to the next point, which is, how should you follow up? Well, it just becomes random. If you didn't set a time frame, right, for following up, then what happens is it's like you wake up and you go, oh, I better send Patrick an email and see if he still wants to go ahead. Right. And then there's crickets. Mm-hmm. And then a week goes by and it's like, oh, maybe I'll give him a call. But if you've mapped out the schedule, if you've actually said it'll be this, the agreement, then it'll be that, confirmation, then it'll be this, registration, then the audit will start, then you have specific junctures and timelines to hold them to hold them accountable to. Right. And that is next level right there.
And what about, I mean, that's a very sort of like, check all the boxes, process to getting an agreement signed. I see that. But there's still going to be, you know, someone's still going to make a commitment, right? So even if all the numbers line up, there's going to be like, I need to think about this or whatever.
Yeah.
How can you sort of, I guess, manage common objections? Or I think the other thing is, one of the things perhaps is, you know, the value of a reference from an existing customer. Like, how do you build those things into the process so you can kind of like, I guess, like preempt any objections they might have?
Yeah, good question. We've experienced this in, you know, you and I have experienced this in Benchmark. Benchmark offers this, you know, huge kind of range of services, if you will. And so we get questions all the time. Do you do this? Do you do that? You know, how is this handled? How's that handled? So we started to build up some collateral of common questions and objections, right? So when we get someone contact us, it's like, here's all the questions that we kind of, we think you might ask. If you've got more, feel free to send them through. So I think it's important that as you complete each sales objective, if you will, so you've been to a meeting and you heard an objection, you didn't quite have a ready-to-go answer, write that down so that the next time that comes up, you've either got some collateral that confirms that for them, they don't need to ask you the question, or you've got a really great on-point answer when it gets asked. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
Yeah. And what about using your existing customers for references?
Yeah, I think having them ready to go. You know, so there's a couple of different schools of thought on this. I saw something on Reddit the other day where people said they didn't like putting customer case studies and references on their website because other MSPs in town would target them. Now, right. that hasn't been my experience, because if you're doing an exceptional job, who cares, like, if these other companies are targeting them? But I can understand maybe in an aggressive market that might happen. So having them ready to go, but here's the next thing. When a customer asks you for a reference, the answer to that is, what exactly would you like to know from this customer, right? So now we're starting to uncover even more questions and objections. So, well, I really want to know if you guys are really as good as you say you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, can we explore that a bit further, right? There's no point calling up somebody and asking that question. I want to know what it is that we've communicated today that's given you a sense that we might not be able to deliver for you. And I want to flesh that out now, because my customer's probably going to say a whole bunch of nice things about me and you might not get the answer that you're looking for. Why don't we flesh it out here so that I can give you some other, you know, things to back this up, right? Then having those customers be a match as a reference, right? So what else would you like to know from this particular customer? Okay, well, I think that it'll be this customer will be the best reference for you, not just a list of random customers for them to phone up.
Right, so that took a couple of minutes more than 15 to run through the ultimate sales process. But James, just to close it off, what's one last thought?
Well, I think as MSPs, we are generally pretty process-oriented, right? You know, we talk a lot in the MSP community about documentation or what's the right methodology for support, you know, those kinds of things. But sales is equally important, if not more important, to have a really clearly defined process. And so hopefully some of the stuff we've talked about today will be valuable.
I'm sure it is. All right, everybody, thanks again for your time and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.